Dante, thank you very much for attending us. Good night. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing great.
Are we able to say that you are right now in your best shape since you joined to Barcelona?
Yes, I definitely think. It's kind of been up and down for me. Kind of just from where I was and the schedule. It's hard working out by yourself, trying to get into the game shape, but. I think now I've finally gotten to a point where I feel good and I'm able to run those extended minutes.
You got Catalonia in a certain physical condition after some complicated years for you. Can you explain us how it's been this process since your injury up to now?
Yeah, it's definitely been a struggle. I'm not going to lie. I think every time I kind of got healthy, or even just kind of was starting to feel good, I went down again. It's just the rehab process is very hard. Trying to put that all behind me and just take every day the same and make sure I focus on what I can do in the gym to, stay healthy.
Here in Barcelona, we have got some experiences with players in situations with certain common points with yours. I'm thinking into the Pau Gasol's case past year, NBA players who have come to Palau to try to bounce back their career. Of course, the main difference is the age. With you, Pau was 40 past year. You are 25, 26. My question is, how far you feel to be able at the level you were in 2014 when you were selected into the fifth pick in NBA draft with a so huge hype because your physical abilities, how far do you feel from there?
No, I think, it's just been an up and down thing. Obviously I've got a lot of years since then. It's been, eight years or so since then. But I think the experience that comes with that has just put me at another level. I wish I knew what I know now back then. I would have been well off. I think it's just, learning how to, take care of my body, learning how to be ready for every game. That's the important thing, and that's what's going to be my next challenge.
But do you feel plenty satisfied at the level you are right now?
Yeah, no, I know, 100%. No, I think, obviously it's, you can't be perfect, but you always want to keep striving to be better. But so I'm not going to say I'm happy where I'm at. So I always want to get better. But no, I feel like I'm shooting the ball well and, I'm showing bits and pieces of what I can do.
The NBA game style and the European game style are very different. How it runs, spaces, rhythm, intensity, even crowd lives in the arena so different in the United States than here. My question comes from my total ignorance, and it's, despite differences between basketball in the United States and Europe, do you believe you are going to get one point and say, okay, I'm ready? Or by the other side, you will need to go to America and be in an NBA franchise to evaluate how is your real condition against other NBA players?
That's actually a tough question. No, I think it is hard to, sense kind of where you're at. It is a completely different game. I found that out quick. Even though I played, a lot of international basketball, Olympics, World Cup, and so on. But yeah, this EuroLeague style is definitely different. It's a slower game, a lot of post play. You see the NBA going away from a lot of post play, and the paint's packed in EuroLeague team defenses. You have more days to prepare, so you're getting scouted. We're scouting guys, so it's definitely different. But I don't know. It's a thing where you'd have to go back and see where you're at. But it's a good question.
You are right now, of course, free agent in NBA. Do your rights, your NBA rights, belong to anybody, or you are free agent to sing whoever you want when your deal in Barcelona is going to be over?
Yeah, no, I'm a free agent. Yeah.
NBA trade deadline ends tomorrow. Is there still any option of Dante come?
No, I think at the moment, I think a lot of the teams are focusing on trades and finalizing their rosters and seeing what they need. So I think, I talk with my agent, my family, and it's just, you know, kind of letting that happen, seeing what happens with, you know, a lot of the teams and seeing if there's a good option for me. You know, I'm not trying to force the issue to just get back over there. So, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Anyway, has it been any franchise phone call to you or to your agent meanwhile you've been in Barcelona last month?
I let my agent handle that. You know, I think for me right now, it's just about basketball and just focusing on basketball. And when it comes to that time, that's when I'll start focusing on that. You know, I think, you know, I played well during the Olympics doing that. You know, free agency started, I think, right when the Olympics started. So I think for me, it's just good to focus on the basketball and let that take care of, because if I'm doing well on the court, then the rest will take care of itself.
Your contract expires on February the 28th, and I've got the sensation you are feeling a player back again. Not many time ago, I read you some quotes about you'd like to come back to the NBA, and it's logical. My question is, in the current situation, do you like an extension up to the end of the season with Barcelona?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I was saying, you know, for me to go back, everything kind of has to, you know, fall in place and be right. Like, I wouldn't want to go back for a 10-day contract or anything. And, you know, I've been, you know, injured, so I've done a lot of workouts and stuff. So I think right now where I'm at, I just want to play, and wherever the best opportunity for me to just keep playing is where I'll be for sure.
In my humble opinion, you've taken a smart decision to be here playing twice or three games per week, 20, 22 minutes, and being in a big showcase like EuroLeague is. It's probably better than to come back in a 10-day contract for a while.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. You know, I think, you know, going back, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. So, I mean, but we'll cross that bridge. You know, I'm feeling good, and if an opportunity arises, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and we'll reevaluate from there.
But in the other side, there's a reality. You are a newcomer. The roster was built up around other pieces like Corey Higgins and Alex Abrines, huge players with a solid experience, even in NBA. It won't be easy to fill in when they will be ready to come. Have you evaluated these options? In terms of, I'm a newcomer. You joined it in December, I think. I'm replacing two injured players like Corey and Alex. It's going to be hard when they come back.
Yeah, no, I think, it's definitely like, you know, when you first come over, even the team was, you know, still flowing a bit, and, you know, they're winning games and, you know, kind of trying to come over and not disrupt that and not, you know, be the reason that you're losing. But, you know, I was able to come in and, you know, we were able to keep winning. So I think that's important. And then obviously, you know, with some of those guys coming back, and I understand, you know, the situation, you know, I'm signed to the 28th, you know, they're going to come back and play. So it's just, you know, me, you know, staying ready and, you know, taking my opportunities when they come. But, you know, that will give me an opportunity if, you know, I am able to sign for the rest of the season, that I will be able to, you know, keep playing, and, you know, the team coaches can invest in me a bit more for that, you know, hopefully that championship run.
What about the symphony with your local roommates, with the staff, with the coach? What about this, the environment, according to what you have seen during these last 2 months?
Yeah, no, I mean, the locker room is really good. You know, all the guys, you know, welcomed me with open arms, and, you know, I don't have complaints about anyone. You know, it's been really good. The practices, obviously, it's a little different from NBA practices, and, you know, I'm getting used to those, you know, quite quick. But no, it's definitely been a very positive experience so far. And yeah, no complaints.
It's your first experience overseas in Europe. 2 months later, and after tested it inside, did you imagine like this?
I honestly didn't even know what I imagined. You know, I think coming in here,
but probably you have heard a lot of comments about how is basketball in Europe, how intensity basketball in Europe.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Joe Ingles a lot. You know, obviously I played with him for a bit, and he was at Barca and played in Maccabi and some other places. So, you know, I've definitely heard about the Europe game, and, you know, I talked to him right before I was coming over here, and You know, just kind of, you know, hearing what he says, you know, it was all true. You know, it's definitely a different game, slower game. Every game's like Joe said, every game's going to be like our bronze medal game at the Olympics. You know, it's just that intensity. EuroLeague games are just on another level. You know, I think I started playing in Red Star and then Panathinaikos, so, you know, huge spots. You know, it was just an eye opening. Yeah. You know, it was a culture shock. It was a basketball shock. It was everything. You know, it was just a totally different experience than to what I'm used to. But you know, I'm glad I've gone through this experience, and now it's not so much a shock anymore. And you know, I love the crowds. I love going on the road. I can't wait. I haven't been and played in Real Madrid yet. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to do that on Friday. And, you know, I think it's just a great experience.
Dante, tell me, please, what's you surprised the most that you didn't know in these 2 months?
I mean, I it's weird because I kind of expected it. I mean, the practices, you know, we practice a lot, but I think, you know, it's been good. I think definitely for me, you know, going from game to game, you're able to analyze a bit more. I think in the NBA, you kind of just move on real quick from a lot of games because, you know, you're playing the next night or, you know, it's a day off and then you're into the next game. So, you know, I think here you can kind of sit on wins or losses a little longer, watch a bit more film and analyze a bit more. So, you know, I think I'm definitely going to become a better player from this.
And what's you disappointed, or maybe your expectations were higher and hasn't been accomplished?
No, I haven't been disappointed about anything. You know, I think, you know, the quality of games, the quality of, you know, players, you know, just as I expected. And I think everything's been, you know, great so far.
You have close cases of people in your career who have come to Europe with different experiences. Raúl Neto, Joel Bolomboy, Tibor Pleiss, Epke Udo, Livio Jean-Jax in the Nighthawk Summit, people you know very well through your career, of course, Joe Ingles. Has your look to Europe changed in the last 2 months? How Europe is, and the idea you had before coming to Europe?
No, I don't think it's changed. No, I think...
Personally, you, I mean...
Yeah, for me, no, I don't think it's changed. I think, you know, when you're over there, it's hard to keep up with Europe and kind of what's happening around, obviously, because just the games are on at, you know, different times, and it's just kind of not your focus. But being over here and focusing it, you know, you see the importance of it over here, and, you know, it's big. People love it over here. You know, you just kind of get stuck in a little bubble over there thinking that the NBA is the it and the bit, and that's all that matters. But, you know, people... one of the surprising things is I'm actually learning how big Copa is. Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't even know before this year that Copa was a thing. And
it's like a big party.
Yeah, you know, I think, yeah, just being around here and, you know, the excitement of, you know, what's coming up next week, and, you know, they did the balls rolling and who we're going to play, and just hearing everyone talk about, you know, got to win Copa, got to win Copa. And it's just such a... I had no clue. I didn't even know it existed before. Before, you know, when I came here. So I think, you know, that's, you know, the one thing I'm excited to do. I think if we make it to the final, we'll play 3 games in a row. So that's going to be, you know, definitely a different experience. But no, it's just little like things like that I'm excited for that I didn't know before.
I explain you. It's 3 games in a row, thrilling games in a full arena with 8 team crowds, everything, everybody together,
yeah,
cheering. It's an incredible experience, I assure you.
Someone told me it was like the March Madness,
yes,
of like Europe. So I think just, you know, just experiencing something like that, you know, a mid-season tournament that, I mean, I didn't even know they had mid-season tournaments, obviously, and the importance, I thought it was like, you know, as long as you win ACB, EuroLeague, you know, it's fine. But no, they're like, no, we got to win this. So,
by the way, poor Joe Ingles.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's tough. And obviously, I know what he's going through too well. You know, I think, you know, he's a hard worker. You know, he has a great support staff around him that you know, he's not done playing basketball for sure. You know, he'll be back and he'll be ready. You know, we're going to need him for the Olympics in Paris. And he'll be back.
Australian basketball has given very important players last years, not only Andrew Gaze and Luke Longley in the past, but in the 21st century, personalities like Patty Mills, Andrew Bogut, Aaron Bynes, Matthew Dellavedova. Joe was here for 3 seasons in Barcelona. Is he one of the top spots of AUC basketball?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, what he's done in his career, just being over here in Europe and then going over and, you know, having a successful career in the NBA like he's had. Definitely he's one of the top basketball players, you know. Patty Mills, obviously, he's one of the great, you know.
Yeah.
Just being on a team with him and being able to see, you know, what he's done, not only before I was, you know, a Boomer, but now, and us winning that bronze medal, and what it just meant to those guys. And we have young talent coming through too. You know, you see Giddy's doing amazing over there right now, and he's only going to get better. And then, you know, we have some young guys coming through the G League and even some young Australians that are playing back home or, you know, coming through the high school system that, you know, are doing exceptionally well. You know, I think that shows the strength of Australian basketball and that we're going to be here to stay. And hopefully one day it's going to equal a gold medal on the international stage.
You come from a basketball and sports family. You have known different types of basketball. You mentioned it before, FIBA, NBA. Now we are discovering European basketball inside. What does European basketball need to move closer to the NBA? It's a tough question.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to hear your ideas on that. But I think, you know, for me coming here, you know, we're treated like, you know, NBA players. You know, obviously, we don't play as many games, but I know that's a tough question. I'm going to keep thinking about that. And if we do another interview, I'll have your answer.
Thank you. And Friday, your first Clásico in Madrid. People who works with you every day has defined me, you, as a person who like to control what's happening in terms of what's going on, what's going to happen. For example, when you landed here in Barcelona, you had a clear idea that you have to go to Manresa to play the full schedule of the upcoming games. Expectations about Friday's match in Madrid. It's a completely different type of game, a Clásico. It's like maybe, I don't know, the Boston Celtics against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm-hmm. It was when I first came over here, it was my first game. I was jet lagged out of my mind, but I was like, I gotta play. My expectations, I hope the crowd's just as loud as it was in Palau, but I doubt it. I'm excited for it. I think, yeah, it's just the experience that comes with it, you know, just to say that you played El Clásico, Barça, Madrid, you know, it's an amazing thing. So I know I'm excited and, you know, hopefully we win. That's the main thing.
And let me, expectations for Barcelona for the whole season?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's to win it, right? To win ACB, to win Copa, to win EuroLeague. I think that's the goal. You know, I think when we have games that we win that, you know, it's a bit sloppy, you know, we've got to be better. We can't be happy with just a win. You know, I think we need to make sure that we're sharp, because when it comes to those games, which, you know, they'll be tough, important games, you know, we need to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Final question. Doing a research of your life, I saw your dad was a Tar Heel. You played with Michael Jordan.
Yes, correct. He played, won a championship. He was there from 80 to 84.
Yeah.
So all 3 of Michael's years. And he actually just went back and had a reunion, you know, with them. So he got to see his all his old teammates. So, yeah.
Did you know that you are the second player in the locker room who can show off that? Corey Higgins, that played with him in the Bulls, and Corey is the Michael Jordan Goodsons.
Yeah, no, I heard that when I came over. It's actually funny. I was when I was in Houston. Corey's brother, he's an assistant coach there too. So I got to know him a bit too. So I had that connection with Corey when I came over. So,
But not only Jordan, your dad played with James Worthy, Sam Perkins, Brad Doherty, with coach Dennis Smith. Talk me about this, let me say, incredible experiences with one of the GOAT.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it was good for me growing up and, you know, just hearing about, my dad playing with Michael Jordan. Obviously, you know, he was the biggest name in basketball. And I think growing up, it kind of, you know, what inspired me to, you know, keep pushing, you know, always told me how he was in practice, how he kept working hard. So, and I think that's just kind of what instilled in my head and, you know, made sure that I kept pushing to, you know, kind of try and make it. So
I can imagine that a person with this experience, like your dad is, his advice must influence you a lot with to play with an NCAA college like North Carolina, I think.
Yeah, no, that was one of the things. You know, it was definitely one of my goals to play college. I wanted to, but I think, you know, where I was and, you know, kind of my life and, you know, the draft situation, you know, it just didn't make sense. You know, I definitely wanted to be a Tar Heel. Both my parents went to North Carolina, so, I mean, it only made sense. But I think at the time, they had a lot of guards at the spot, so I don't think I would have ended up there. But, yeah, you know, it was always a dream to play college ball. But
Nante, thank you very much for your time. It's been a big pleasure for me. And let's see, on Friday in Madrid, I'm going with the team to the Clásico to broadcast the game. So let's win the match.
Perfect. Thank you for having me.